On this episode of What's Up ABQ, you'll hear part two of the interview from last episode. It started off with coffee, how our guest got started with a career in coffee, and then disclosed the dark underbelly of a small-town cop shop. But today we'll get back on our original subject as Lindsay and Lorenzo continue their talk with the owner of Burning Daylight Coffee here on today's What's Up ABQ.
Hey Albuquerque, this is Lindsay.
This is Lorenzo.
And this is What's Up ABQ.
All right, we're back. And Lindsay, you were painting the scene,
I think. I was setting the scene. I was setting the tone. So we were kind of talking about your history in law enforcement and then kind of leading up to how you got into coffee and how we got here into this lovely living room situation with these drinks and this like cozy atmosphere. So tell us a little bit about kind of how you decided, yes, I'm going to open a coffee shop. I'm going to take that risk. I'm going to take the leap and just do it.
Well, I was at a crossroads. My go at law enforcement, I felt like I had a lot of highs and I had a lot of, I had been awarded a lot and a lot of
accolades.
Yeah. And yeah. Thanks. Words are hard.
You know what's funny is I've used that word so many times today. It's just been a word that people have been trying to say all day. And I'm like, accolades. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
I don't think I've used that word ever.
And I was actually looking for commendations and I'm like, what am I trying to say here? But no, I did the things and I was happy at that time to have done all those things. And I was like, you know what, when I came to those crossroads, I was like, everything I've set out to do in law enforcement, I've been able to do. I reached my rank that I always wanted to reach, which is sergeant. I never wanted anything further because I didn't want to be on the carpet.
What's the carpet?
Well, the carpet is where all the brass is. And so when you're a sergeant, you're considered brass, but you're not heavy.
So
like brass.
What's brass?
Brass is... Sorry. It's that police jargon, right?
Brass non-law enforcement.
So brass is anybody who's who holds any sort of rank.
Okay. So you have like medals or whatever.
Like, it's
okay.
So basically it's a color code. Like all your patrolmen, your troopers, your highwaymen, however you want to term it. If you're on the street, you're wearing silver. And so... you're still in the trenches, you're still doing the dog work, and you're doing all this stuff, and you're basically the guy out there making the brass look good.
You're doing the drunken disorderlies, right, and the traffic stops.
Yeah, but then you get into the ranks of, like, some people have, like, senior officers, and they're still wearing silver, but there's other places that have the corporals, and they're wearing brass, or half brass, half silver, and then once you get into... a sergeant's position, you're wearing the brass, you're wearing the gold. And so anywhere, that's basically anytime I reference brass is sergeant's on up. And so I'd done that, I reached that level and I was like, cool, I'm here. But it was so short-lived, and it was just like, I loved the highs of being a sergeant, but those didn't outweigh all the bads. Mm-hmm. And there was so much bad at that time where it was just like, I had just went through a point in my career where they fired the only black officer in the department, and I just saw through it all, and I just thought, what are you firing him for? It was beyond me. I just couldn't, and he's still a good friend of mine now. I was his supervisor. They wanted me to write him up and do all these things and I was just like, I'm not doing it. There's guys out here doing worse, and you're not writing them up. You're not firing them. There's no consequences for them. And I saw the connections between brass and those people. I had gone through that season of seeing this happen, and I couldn't stand for it. And I actually went out with him. When I say went out with him, at that time I was basically forced to resign because I wouldn't do those things that they were asking me to do. They end up firing him. He ends up suing, and I'm glad he did. We still talk to this day. And at that time I thought, this is not what I want to continue doing. And I knew my passion for coffee at that time was still alive in me, and I was still going to these little coffee shops that were popping up, and I was just thinking, like, how great is this place? How great, inviting, kind of like what we're sitting in now, and how awesome is this? Like, I remember I have my very, very top favorite coffee shops in this town.
And that was actually going to be one of my next questions is, like, do you have a certain spot? Oh, like, before you had your own spot, where do you go? Like, where do you hang your hat? You know what I mean?
But I do have, like, a top few that are just, like, that really stand out to
like
me that are
two.
Doing... Yeah, top two. My top two has to be Castle being first, I love Castle. Castle is doing amazing things. They're doing big things. And if you guys don't know the owner of Castle, who's Josh, he just a good person. His even his staff, like Matt, Ryan, Josh, I mean, all their baristas. I mean, anytime you go in there, consistency, yeah. Consistency, consistency. And it's not, and I talk them up because every time I go in there, it was like, how do you know my name?
Yeah.
I've met you one time.
No, they're really good at that. I mean, because that's, you know, and I just to shout them also, you know, when we were doing the podcast before COVID and we didn't have a space to record, they lent us their literal space and they were like, no, just use it. And we were like, well, you know, I mean.
You interviewed them too, right?
We interviewed them too on the podcast. Yeah, that's a couple seasons back. If you want to listen, it's a good one. But it's great. They were so willing to just be like accommodating and community minded, which is huge. Yeah. And I totally get that. They're like the nicest people.
Yeah. So we were actually, before we were starting our own, I would go in there and I was one of his day ones. I saw them pop up and I saw their story come up on Instagram and I was new to, fairly new to Instagram, I guess still. And I was just like, wow, what a cool looking space. And I was like, where is that? And they really brought like a crowd to this part of downtown that I was just like, I would have never even known this place was here.
So it's funny that you mentioned that because so when I was a case manager, well, I'm still a case manager, but when I was doing it earlier on, I used to work at Crossroads for Women and they were right next door in that building. And we used they moved.
Oh, okay.
They have a new facility now. They outgrew it. So that's cool. But we used to walk by where Castle is now. And we would always say, you know, what would be really cool in this spot, a coffee shop. And like literally every time we'd walk by, we'd be like, you know what? Yeah. They just need a coffee shop here. And it's so funny because like literally every day we'd walk right by that spot and be like, this is what they need.
But like even dimensionally, like it's perfect size, right? Like you look at it and you're going, exactly, like you walk by and you're like, God, a coffee shop would be great here. But I didn't even know that place existed until Castle brought that awareness or that community and brought that community alive there. I feel like they really like
they ignited the neighborhood for sure.
And so seeing that happen, it was just like walking in and going and seeing where it started and where it's at, it was just like, wow, this is incredible. Like whoever's doing this has actually dedicated a lot of time to not just this facility, but the craft of coffee. You could tell that there was more than, it wasn't like somebody just went in there and said, hey, let's open a coffee shop.
There was intent behind it.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next place, because when that was opening, it really, when Castle opened, it really sparked that fire again, where I didn't feel like it ever left me, but it definitely was just like, it brought it out of me. And it was just like, wow, this is good coffee. And I remember going in there and trying. I always gauge a certain place by a few drinks. And it's always, for me, and this is a personal thing, I don't know if it's for everybody else, but when I go into a place, I try 3 drinks. I know I'm going to spend a little bit of money because it is a craft, but I'll order a drip. And so if it's not a drip, maybe a pour over if I feel like they have time or, you know, because pour overs take time. Yeah, I'll do a drip. Or pour over, I'll do a cortado, and then I'll do just an espresso with some mineral water, and just to cleanse the palate, right? I mean, or sparkling water.
Would you drink all those in one sitting?
Well, I'm just I mean, I love coffee. Right. Yeah. Well, after today,
he loves coffee.
I mean, because the coffee I had at the beginning of the week probably hasn't left me. But anyway, no, I mean it runs through my veins. But no, I mean even as I mean. If you know my dad, and you've met him a few times in here, he actually, like, I remember drinking coffee in high school with him, and I'm just like, God, this stuff's good.
Yeah.
And
I love this.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd put it on the percolator. We'd have camp coffee, like, when we went camping, and it was, I still think camp coffee is the best coffee. This place would have been called Camp Coffee if there wasn't already a Camp Coffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're starting a business, like, you think, oh, you can just name it whatever you want, and it's going to be great, but then you start researching, and the internet's great for that, because you can Google it. And
Brood Awakening.
Yeah.
Let's not go there. Lorenzo and I briefly one time, and I'll keep it brief, we tried to start a coffee shop and failed miserably.
Yeah.
And really? It was with a partner, and the partner kind of, for lack of a better term, did us dirty.
Yeah, we were sharing a space, but it was a space that was, it was like a deli.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out. And Lindsay and I didn't have the business know-how or the...
We were young and dumb, let's put it that way.
But it, yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, and the person, we had a couple names in mind, and the one that they wanted to stick with was Brood Awakening, and we were like, yeah, that is so dumb.
No, it was, I kind of tossed the idea because...
It was a joke. Yeah, it was a joke, and the guy was like, I love it, and we were like, oh
shoot.
No.
So now you're like backpedaling, trying to, no, just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, when we were starting out this business, and when I say we, me and my wife, we were thinking like, what do we call it? And that's... Honestly, that's one of the biggest obstacles I think that we ran into, other than finding the space,
yeah,
was just like, what do we call this place? Like, we just don't, I mean, because you look at some places and you're like, oh, that's kind of cheesy, like, you know, or go ahead.
Oh, so you're talking about the name, and I'm looking at the logo behind us.
Yeah.
And was this the same artist that painted your mural
actually, no. I actually wanted wanted Audie Espinosa, who's the artist of the cowboy that's behind me.
Which is a really cool, he's like a skeleton cowboy, yeah, at a campfire.
You know, what he's missing is a sheriff's badge.
Whoa. Hey.
We're a few fires, all right. This is good enough.
Yeah.
I wanted this guy to be, I mean, in law enforcement, we always say, don't eat or drink with your shooting hand. Keep your shooting hand free. Don't carry your gym bag. Don't carry your briefcase. Don't carry your laptop. Don't carry anything in your shooting hand, because time is key when you're met with deadly force, or, you know, so on and so forth. And so I wanted this guy to kind of be like on his own, doing his own thing, didn't bother anybody, but also not affiliated, nothing.
Yeah.
Just his own person. And I told her when we were coming up with this image, I said, I want him to be his own man, and I want him to be doing his own thing, waking up at his own hour, but also understanding that as soon as your feet hit the ground, as soon as your eyes wake up and see that first light of day, your clock's ticking. And so your day has begun. You are currently running out of time, and you are burning daylight.
Mm.
And so when we were coming up with this logo and this place and this name, and we had gone through, I think it was like 4 different names, and we had narrowed it down to 2. And growing up, to answer your question,
mm-hmm,
I wanted her to paint this. Then I was like, you know what? I think I can do this. Because I'm like, oh, I can, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'll do that. And my wife, she gets mad at me. She's like, no, we're hiring somebody, right? Or, you know, we're doing this. Right, let them do this. And I'm just like, no, I can handle this. Well, I started like freehanding it, like on just cardboard at home and like little construction paper. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I need help.
Help.
So I ended up actually using a projector.
Nice.
For that.
That's cool.
And once it was up, I was like, I'm not touching it again. And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I could probably use another Coke.
it's great, though.
Like
it's
like, because it fits with the aesthetic that's already here.
Yeah.
Like it already fits with what's here. I don't think you need to touch it up at all. I think it looks good the way
it's like
is.
It's got like a Pendleton sort of vibe to it.
Oh, my
and
God. I'm glad you say that.
Yeah?
I'm glad you say that. Here's why. Okay, I'm a fan of Pendleton.
For those that can't see, there's a big Pendleton vintage sign on top of the coffee grinder behind the bar.
70s.
Which is vintage enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
And it's like, and I just love Pendleton, everything they do. But
I also,
I also understand, though, that I have a real appreciation for Native American arts and their textiles. They have gone through a lot of evolvement, much of which wasn't their choice. But I just have like a really... I feel really connected to every art piece, every jewelry piece that they do. I mean, when we were coming up with this, and I actually didn't even know what the significance was behind a white buffalo.
Great white buffalo.
Right. I didn't know that. But it does have that sort of like Pendleton feel, and I wanted it to have that. First and foremost, I wanted it to have that New Mexican feel of the Southwest with a little bit of modernism, to where it wasn't so... It didn't look like somebody, like a cowboy came in here and threw up all over the place, right? I don't know how else to explain that, but
no,
I just didn't want it to feel...
Santa Fe.
Right.
Gift shop.
There you go. And no offense to the Santa Feans, but yeah. I just didn't want it to feel that way, as much as it maybe does. But when we were coming up with the logo, I said, at first I thought, well, let's put a side profile of a Native American, like chief, with its full headdress, in it, and do all these things. But then I understood how sensitive that could be or how problematic that could be. Right. Mm-hmm. Because now what you're doing is you're, we didn't want to monetize something or brand something that wasn't ours to begin with. And so when we were coming up, I was like, you know what? I've always loved buffaloes. I think they're so majestic, and I just, you know, they're awesome. Like every time we drive into town, we pass this little reservation and there's a white buffalo in their herd of buffalo there. Oh. in the Pueblo. Even then I was like, there's a freaking white buffalo in that herd. Like, I, in my mind, I'm going, that's crazy. Like, I've never seen one. But then when we were coming up with this, I did want the sun involved. I wanted it just coming up over the horizon, but I wanted a buffalo walking through that. I think we depicted it pretty well, but this is the beginning of the day. And so after, like, customers coming in, they're like, do you understand what a white buffalo is? And I'm like, I don't, but I know that there's one in the herd of Isleta Pueblo. Like, we see it every morning, and we just think it's so cool. And in my mind, I wasn't like thinking to research it. We've had people come in here and go, well, this is it, this is what it is. And our clientele is comprised of a lot of different people, including Native American people who have really educated us on what that is, which is cool.
Can you speak to kind of just briefly what the symbol
is? It is
in that culture.
So from what I understand, and this is just what I'm being told.
Right.
And then also doing some of my own little research of it, is that it's basically a new beginning, which also, or
that's really perfect, actually.
Or a new rise, new person rising, or a new era, the dawning of a new era, or, you know, so on and so forth. But the statistics behind the white buffalo is, when I first read it, it was 1 in 5 million buffalo are born white buffalo. Now it's come to 1 in 10 million. And so it's just like, it's amazing. Like, that we have that gift here.
Yeah.
At the Isleta Pueblo. And it's just like, wow. I know that there may be one other here in the state, and I think it's in up north somewhere. Like, what's the one in Espanola? Is it Santa Clara?
Like, in between Espanola?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
not Nambe.
Yeah. In between yeah. Espanola and Nambe. There is a herd there. And I think there's a,
okay, Owinge.
There you go. Owinge. Yeah. You know, we didn't put that on our logo because for that reason, we made it that color for contrast. And then later learned that, hey, like, your buffalo's white. Like, what is that? Why do you have a white buffalo? And we're like, well, no, it was just for contrast. Like, basically, it was just so you could see what it was. Mm-hmm. And we've never had anybody offended by it, including the Native American community. But it's awesome because they're more educational about it,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
And they're coming in here and they're like, this is cool. Like, this is really cool.
I think tying back to the beginning of the conversation, and we'll wrap here in a second, but I think it's really cool because, yes, this is about coffee. Yes, this is a business. But at the same time, there is a lot of New Mexican symbolism in here, and it runs really deep. And it has, like we talked about earlier, it has stories. There's pieces of all these different parts of New Mexico kind of entwined in this space. And at first glance, you're like, okay, yeah, it's a coffee shop. But once you get going and you start talking about the symbolism and what it actually means and having it all in one place, it's really cool.
And when you say it has like this Pendleton vibe, like, we have these three huge banners that are coming up that are going to be hanging from the rafters. And just to paint you a picture, we have these, like, I don't know, what would you say, 15-foot ceilings, maybe more?
Yeah, these are high ceilings. These are, I would say, like 25. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not good at measuring.
Huge banners. There's three banners coming in, and each one, which is going to be hung here above the booths, are... We wanted them to have this sort of Pendleton, like, organic look to them. And so those are coming in. We're having those done now. But that was sort of what we were looking at was, okay, what's country or what's native or how can we make this what that is with some modernism?
Nice.
And so that's kind of what we've always shaped this around, was we don't want this to be something that's, again, doesn't look like John Wayne came in here and threw up on it.
But no, I think it's... I think what you've done here is great. I love your signage. Do you plan on getting any road signage or anything to kind of bring the folks from Manal to come by?
Yeah, so we thought we had sufficient amount of signage, and we were like, yeah, let's use what we have here. So, for instance, like, you mentioned the gas pump. That's from Tomei, New Mexico. The Texaco sign is from out west. It's like it was either Gallup or Grants that we got that out of.
And it's so cool, by the way.
Yeah, it came out on the original pole, and we used the original pole for our signage outside. And wow. It's called a banjo pole, but it's
Route 66 for sure.
Yeah, right? And it's shaped like a banjo. But anyway, it was we thought it was going to be large enough, and so we ended up buying an old fuel tank, old from I think it was out of Stanley, and we're having that painted, but we're learning that, you know, signage is everything, and bringing people in is everything. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't see your sign out there. Like, Google just told me you were here. And I'm like, thank God for Google. Because,
yeah, right.
We are working on a force sign, something that's more in your face, like permanent. That's in the works. But basically, our priority, what we were prioritizing, what was in here. And if we could offer this little, like, hole in the wall, like, hidden gem. We thought, and it's worked.
Mission accomplished. Yeah. I mean, for real. So my final question to you is, well, two, I guess it's a two-parter. Well, maybe three. We had kind of talked about one of your favorite spots, but we had asked for top two. So what's your second favorite spot?
So my second favorite spot. So obviously I know we touched on this, that it was Castle who really was like, oh, this is what I've sort of imagined. And this is what coffee craft should be like.
And
there's
place.
Yeah, totally. And there was a true appreciation from everybody in that building for real coffee, and that was really amazing to me, and it spoke to me. But it was that's what started my whole journey again with coffee and visiting new shops, because it was like, wow, there is this coffee community that's alive and well. And then so I started venturing out, and I actually went to Russ's Gold back when they were in the Collective.
I love that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And
we've probably crossed paths in so many different coffee places.
I have a Russ's Gold shirt, I think, right?
Yeah. And now they're up on Wantabo or
Eubank. They've got a cool thing. They've got the motorcycles and stuff.
Found their niche. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And the owner, Tyson, that's probably the biggest thing that sticks out to me about Josh, the owner of Castle, and Tyson, the owner of Russ's Gold, is that when they remember you, and they remember you by name. And so you try to emulate that, because it is significant. Yeah. People are like, you remember that? I just had this conversation with two people today, two of my customers, and they're like, I've been in here once. How do you remember that? And I'm like, honestly, it's that important. I think if you can do that, they understand that they're just not another person walking through this door. And here's the other thing, you can mirror exactly what another coffee shop is doing, but it'll never be the exact same. You can try to do the exact same, but it's never going to be the same. And so it's going to be its own uniqueness. But if you can just do that one thing and just be consistent with people and their drink and who they are and treat them for who they are, then I think that's half the battle. And so when I was going to these places, Castle being the first, Josh coming and saying, hey, Charles, how you doing? Hey, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks definitely. For remembering
how do you
me.
You know me.
And that was going, super. You know the customers. They're walking in the door. You already have their drink on, right?
And so you're and then going and seeing Tyson and seeing him. I think Tyson, I was in one of those guys too, where he was open for a little while and I just discovered his shop. And then it was wow, this is a cool space. And I just remember seeing his mural on the outside and I was like, wow, who did this? And then going into the shop and then seeing, I've always had a love for motorcycles and motorcycle community and what they do, and seeing that and how different it was God, this is cool. It's rustic. It's hardened. It's just so cool. I remember just sitting there and talking to Tyson for almost what seems like hours and just seeing him evolve over the years. But it was cool to see how that all played out. And so when it came to coffee, I was there was a couple of things. Castle, I loved the coffee and I loved the environment and how well they were with people. When I walked into, I think what stood out to me for Russ's Gold was how different they were as opposed to other coffee shops.
They're definitely in their own category, and it's a cool thing to see.
And not only that, but how involved Tyson was with the community. Not that Castle wasn't. But it was just a different way of being involved.
A different community facet.
And then seeing, knowing Tyson being an educator, a teacher, and seeing where he was able to sort of mix the two, be able to get donations for kids who were in need and do all these things. It was cool to see. But to answer your question, one being Castle, two being Russ's Gold. If I'm going to go to a coffee shop outside of here, those are the places I go to. Yeah.
some great spots for sure.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that analysis. But no, I think those are two really solid.
I get
spots.
On this wild tangent, I know, but yeah.
No, it's very but that's good. The cool thing about Albuquerque. It's so easy to talk about really cool local spots, and there's no shortage. No. I mean, we could do a podcast on every single one of them, and it would be hours long, and it would be fine.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
So I guess my next question for you, as we wrap up, is. How can the community support you? I know you have a coffee trailer. You've got some things going on. How can the community support your business? And then also, where can they find you on social media? What are your hours? How can they find you?
Yeah, so first and foremost, as far as social media, I think because that's what's, I mean, everybody's on, right? We do have a Facebook. It's at Burning Daylight Coffee Company. We have a Instagram page, Burning Daylight Coffee Co. We're really active on both. Instagram seems to be the more, drove up like more organic, like followers. And cause that community is forever expanding. Like that coffee community is just like, everybody's like, oh, I tried this new coffee shop. And then, you know, it's just, it expands and further and further and further. And so.
I'm looking at your Instagram right now, yeah. Burning Daylight Coffee.
Yeah.
There it is.
And we are doing pop-ups. We do private events. We do rent out our, we have a cool little 1963 Shasta. It's a little pink and white with the fins. And
it's really cute.
It's just, it's super cool. It's an eye catcher and it's fun and people like that. And so we are open 7 days a week. We just hired two new employees. Like I said, we just partnered with Presbyterian. We're doing one urgent care a week and actually two every fourth week of the month, and then we're going to put out the schedule of where we're going to be because it is for Presbyterian, but that doesn't mean like if you work in the area, if you work in the area, you're more than welcome to come out. We'll post it on our Instagram or Facebook so that you guys have that info and what days and time we'll be out there. Primarily, it's going to be 7 to 10 because that's our peak hours for coffee, right? And we do a lot of tea options, but we're open here 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, it is 7:30 to 4 p.m. every day. And then Saturday, Sunday, we open just an hour later. It's 8:30 to 4. What's really cool is that if you do come in, you support us, and you grab a drink or whatever, there is a lot here in this place to actually peruse through. And we encourage people like, hey, yeah, you're coming for the coffee or vice versa. You're coming to the indoor collective, the flea market, the family indoor flea market. Like you get the best of both worlds. And it complements each other really well, which is really cool. It gives you variety.
It's a great state. I've done that. I mean, I'll come get my coffee and then I'll just kind of wander around. For those that don't know, it's on Manal in Washington.
Yeah.
And so you'll see it. So it'll say family indoor flea market, but Burning Daylight is right inside.
Yeah.
So we're sandwiched right between Carlisle and Washington. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're within that little corridor.
And come sit on this beautiful leather couch and admire. Yeah.
Which you said was it ox leather?
No, this is actually bison.
Bison. Okay. Bison. That makes sense.
That came out of.
I don't know why I thought ox.
Yeah.
Okay, Lorenzo.
I'm like ox.
Might be an expensive couch.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing your space with us. Thank you for letting us come hang out.
Having you guys.
It's so nice.
This was fun.
It's nice.
And you know, many more cups of coffee in this space to come.
I have to channel previous podcasting hosts real quick.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Ask the most important question of all time. Yeah. You can't forget.
I'm a little rusty. Yeah. It's been a minute. Sorry.
Former hosts are going to be really upset with you.
I know.
Red or green, and where do you get it?
Ooh. I'm going to say. Okay, depending. Here's the thing.
All right.
Depending on the season, right? Fair. Because us New Mexicans, we use red chili as our gravy here for, you know, all holidays. But I'm going to have to say green. I'm going to say Abuelita's in the South Valley.
Okay.
Mm.
If you've
That's
ever
a new
been,
spot I need to go to.
If you've ever been, or if you haven't been,
I'm going to go.
If you haven't been, you'll know when you eat it. If you've been, you know. If you know, you know.
That's a good tagline for some chili. No, I think that's intriguing. Now I'm going to be like, okay, this weekend, Lorenzo, let's go.
All right.
I absolutely, they're home of the, it's home of the, and this is not paid, this is not a paid advertisement.
not a sponsor.
It's home of the Tacopilla.
Ooh. Okay.
The Tacopilla.
That sounds promising.
But if you, for their dessert, natillas, off the charts, probably the best I've had in the state.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to give it a try.
Mission initiated.
Yeah.
If you know, you know, Albuquerque.
If you know, you know. Well, thank you so much, Charles. We really appreciate you being here.
I appreciate
you guys. Just like good coffee, if you know, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you all.
Hey Albuquerque, could we ask you a favor? No, you don't have to drop us off at the airport or watch the kids for us, but we just want to know what you think of the What's Up ABQ podcast. Sure, it only takes a little bit of your time to listen to it, but we put hours into creating something that we hope that you'll enjoy. So if you wouldn't mind, please give us a 5-star review on your preferred platform where you listen to us. It would make us happier than Larry Barker uncovering a hidden waste of taxpayer money. Also, we'll be debuting our revamped and remodeled website soon, so stand by for that. And thanks again, Albuquerque. We love you. What's Up ABQ is back. We have more interviews with lovers, creators, doers, and dreamers of ABQ and beyond. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram and send us a message if you or somebody you know is interested in an interview. And as always, we support ABQ locals free of charge. We love you, ABQ. It's good to be back, and we'll be telling you soon, What's Up ABQ?